How do you spend your evenings? Let me guess. You're flipping through the TV channels. Maybe your wife is looking through Facebook. Well, let me tell you how we spend our evenings. We like to soak. Oh, yeah. Because there's nothing better than an evening together. Soaking away the cares of the day in our own Bullfrog Spa. Go to Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas, 1333 East Red Hills Parkway today, so you can start soaking tomorrow. Oh, yeah.
Don't spend another holiday season pretending to hear what others are saying. Hi, I'm Dr. Darrow from Intermountain Audiology, offering you 2 free months of treatment. If you want to be part of the conversation, maintain your independence, and avoid memory loss, take your first steps towards medically treating your hearing loss and visit intermountainaudiology.com or call 435-612-1023 and mention radio for your 2 free months of treatment.
It's an election year. Just send the nuke and finish us off already. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Before we begin, since this is Aunt Bethany's 80th Christmas, I think she should lead us in the saying of grace.
Oh, great.
What, dear?
They want you to say grace. The blessing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey there. Welcome to your Friday. epic show ahead, and happy to be here, actually. I want to share so many things with you in this hour, but welcome. And I also, I wanted to mention a couple things. Number one, if you're in an accident, get over to Auto Body Central. They are fantastic. They know what they're doing, and they will get your car back in perfect shape. And also, I just don't know of anyone that could do a better job at that than them. They have a 5-star rating. They are just incredible. The rental car companies just rave about ABC Auto Body Central, and they're honest. They will work with your insurance company for you. It's fantastic. So make sure that you are getting over there and using ABC. So Charlie Kirk, who I've had on the show, played him on the show quite a bit. So many, different individuals. President, Trump announced, his intent to appoint the following individuals to the members of the President's Advisory 1776 Commission for a term of, 2 years, that 1776 Commission, to sort of negate the horrendous, 1619 projects and horrendous project that, of course, progressive liberals are just raving about, right? This was to get something back in the classroom that had, a little bit more about, the founders and so forth. And so Charlie Kirk was, named to be one of those persons, that will be involved in that. So let me play this for you. Can I just play real quick Trump's Christmas message? Listen to his message. I love this. Listen up.
Stop waiting and start.
Well, that wasn't it. Okay, here we go.
For Christians, this is a joyous time to remember God's greatest gift to the world. More than 2,000 years ago, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. He said, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." The angel told her that she would give birth to a baby boy, Jesus, who would be called the Son of the Most High. 9 months later, Christ was born in the town of Bethlehem. The Son of God came into the world in a humble stable. As Christians everywhere know, the birth of our Lord and Savior changed history forever. At Christmas, we give thanks to God, and that God sent his only Son to die for us and to offer everlasting peace to all humanity. More than 2 millennia after the birth of Jesus Christ, his teachings continue to inspire and uplift billions and billions of people all over the globe His divine word still fills our hearts with hope and faith, and Christians everywhere still strive to live by Jesus's timeless commandment to his disciples, love one another. Above all, during the sacred season, our souls are full of thanks and praise for Almighty God for sending us Christ, his Son, to redeem the world. Tonight we ask that God will continue to bless this nation, and we pray that he will grant every American family a Christmas season full of joy, hope, and peace. On behalf of Melania and the entire Trump family, Merry Christmas to all, and best wishes for a very, very great and happy New Year. Thank you.
What a great message. And I thought, you know, when I listened to that, and of course the media completely ignored it, which they would. I think the mention of Christ makes, you know, makes them feel like all of a sudden the roof's going to start caving in on them. So I wanted to contrast that for you, if you will. Let me show you the 2012 Barack Obama's message. Listen up to this.
Hi, everybody. This weekend, as you gather with family and friends, Michelle and I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
We both love this time of year, and there's nothing quite like celebrating the holidays at the White House. It's an incredible experience, and one that we try to share with as many folks as possible. This month, more than 90,000 people will come through the White House to see the holiday decorations. And our theme for this year's holiday season was Joy to All. A reminder to appreciate the many joys of the holidays, the joy of giving, the joy of service, and of course, the joy of homecomings.
That's right. This weekend, parents are picking up their kids from college and making room for all the laundry they bring with them. Children are counting down the hours until the grandparents arrive, and uncles, aunts, and cousins are making their way to join the family and share in the holiday spirit.
That's what makes this season so special. Getting to spend time with the people we love most.
And this year, that's especially true for some of our military families.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the war.
They go on and on and on. I won't bore you, but they don't even mention Christ's birth. The entire time, it was the holidays. You get to be with family, you get to be around nice decorations. Michelle Obama couldn't even utter the word Christmas, they never mentioned it again. Past the beginning word that they used, and then never, ever anything about Christ's birth. It was amazing to watch. And I could contrast many of those messages for you during the time that those two hooligans were in. But I, you know, it's kind of amazing to hear Trump talk about Christ in the entire message. And I just wanted to highlight that because we don't get that very often. We don't get that very often. And at the very end, when he said it with such just conviction, and it was, we will have a great year next year. And it was interesting to watch him look in the camera and parse that out and say it with such conviction. But I really wanted you guys just to sort of see the difference. It was the holidays versus this is about Christ's birth. And this is what Christ did for mankind. Talk about a Christmas message, a black and white Christmas message. And I don't mean that by race. I'm talking about the difference between the two. It's just amazing. They couldn't even bring themselves to even talk about Christ. And here we are celebrating Christ's birth. So I found that kind of amazing. I just wanted to share that with you. But I just shook my head. A couple of things. Salt Lake City is giving out money to help people pay their rent, $1 million in grants. Pence and his wife got the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm going to be doing a video today on that. COVID vaccine, and it's so evil and so horrendous. And you know, I don't pass the word evil around a ton, but I'm telling you, it's evil. And what we're embarking on, the road, the journey that we're about to take with this new delivery system, ask yourselves this question. Why did they not just use the method of vaccine that they've always used? Why didn't they do that? Or they inject you with a live or dead virus and your body makes antibodies towards that. Why didn't they do it? That is probably the big, huge, golden question that everybody should be asking. And they're not. And so I just wanted to make sure. Here is, let me roll this. This was from the nurse taking the vaccine. Talk about a photo op gone bad. This nurse stood up to the podium after taking the vaccine to tell everybody how wonderful the vaccine was. By the way, when she's saying it, she's looking down. It's very odd. And then you'll see what happens. Here we go.
I did, yes. So, you know, all of my staff, we are excited to get the vaccine. You know, we are in the COVID unit, so therefore, you know, my team will be getting first chances to get the vaccine. And I know that it's really, I'm sorry, I'm feeling really dizzy. Oh, I'm sorry.
And she fainted. She literally fell. The doctors picked her up. Yeah, photo op gone bad. I do believe that was a photo op gone bad. They tried to push the vaccine when she was talking about how excited. Listen to her tone when she says how excited she is to take the vaccine.
So, you know, all of my staff...
right here.
We are excited to get the vaccine. You know,
she just looked. Yeah, we're excited to get that. And then fainted. Proceeded to faint. Ouch. We also have all kinds of things going on. We had a fake photo op with a doctor giving a syringe full of nothing. In fact, the plunger was all the way down at the bottom, and they put the needle in the arm of the health worker, and then didn't give him anything in the vaccine. They actually showed it up close. So a fake vaccine. That was fun. And all kinds of things like this going on. So I just to let you know, this video I'm about to do with the vaccine is very telling. It's very telling, and it's scary. And I don't think I even realized how or what they have in store coming, but they've been telling us for a decade. I just don't think people were paying attention. And when they speak about the future, I think we just kind of roll our eyes and we just get inundated with today's, you know, stuff. And we never really thought about what they were so busy doing behind the scenes. And so it's a very, very telling video, which I hope you'll all share. Because if we don't get this out, if we don't try to help people understand what's going on with that vaccine, we're going to be in big trouble, folks. So please, that'll go up on YouTube and also on Facebook. Please share that. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. I got a few things that might be very uplifting for you. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
If we make it through December, everything's gonna be all right, I know.
Hi there, welcome it's back, the Kate Daly Show. Isn't that the truth? Welcome back. And of course, make sure that if you are turning up the dial on this show, make sure you get over to Intermountain Audiology. That special is ending soon, and you've got to act on that. Go say my name at Intermountain Audiology or Uncle Milty's name. Pick one, and they'll give you 2 free months of treatment. And I love this, that they're doing this for the show, and I love that they're doing this for you, because this is the the most wonderful time of the year, right? And if you're one of those that of millions that is suffering in silence with hearing loss, this holiday, you can actually be part of the conversation and enjoy all the sounds of the season. And Intermountain Audiology is offering those 2 free months to you. And all you have to do is say our name. Please do it. We need you. We really do. Well, let me just give you a little snapshot on the election as far as this goes. I just wanted to mention that Trump's campaign expect a lot more legal action in Pennsylvania going on, according to his campaign advisor, who has been involved in lawsuits challenging the 2020 election results. They're going to have a lot more going on there. So keep expecting that to move along. Also, Trump called on McConnell and Republicans to get tougher in the election battle, you think? Yeah, what wimps. And really, it's horrid what so many of these Republicans are doing in office. So he said, we won the presidential election by a lot. Fight for it. Don't let them take it away. Also, found out that the recount in that Michigan county that reported Biden won on election night, Trump actually had almost double his votes, Biden's votes, and flipped that town. I'm sure that would happen all over the place. Of course, they didn't blame it on Dominion. They blamed it on voting error. I mean, just person error. Oh, okay. I don't know who believes that, but it's ridiculous, isn't it? So 6 states still not called, and we still have, oh my gosh, so much going on. So make sure that you pass that word along, because that's not getting out to the general public, and we need it to. All right, so let me play. You know, every Christmas I play a couple of things, and I hope that these uplift you, and I hope that these are the kinds of things I remember anyway when it comes to Christmas and the things that I enjoy listening to. And so I wanted to play this. I'm going to play Paul Harvey for you right now, and then I wanted to play the John Henry Falk story, because, you know, in the event of our governor telling us how much racism we have around every corner and telling us what a racist state we are and nation, I want to give you a story that really kind of exemplifies America, the America that we all know that exists, and the truth about America. So I'll give you that story next. But this is Paul Harvey, A Christmas Story, the Man and the Birds. I thought this was kind of fitting after what Trump spoke about as far as Christ's birth. This is just such a wonderful, wonderful story to share with your loved ones this holiday season. Here you go, Paul Harvey.
The man I'm talking about was not a Scrooge now. He was a kind, a decent, a mostly good man, generous to his family and upright in his dealings with other men, but he just did not believe in all of that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just did not make sense, and he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He could not swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. He told his wife, "I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm just not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up for them. So he stayed, and they went to the midnight service. Now, shortly after the family drove away in the car, snow began to fall. He went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier. Then he went back to his fireside chair, began to read his newspaper. Minutes later, he was startled by a thudding sound, and then another, then yet another. At first he thought somebody must be throwing snowballs against the living room window. But when he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled out there miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm. In a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large landscape window. That was what had been making the sound. Well, he couldn't let those poor creatures just lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter. All he would have to do is direct the birds into that shelter. Quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, and he opened the doors wide. And inside the barn, he turned on a light so the birds would know the way in. But the birds did not come in. So he figured that food would entice them. He went back into the house and fetched some breadcrumbs and sprinkled those on the snow, making a trail of breadcrumbs to the yellow-lighted, wide-open doorway of the stable. But to his dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. The birds just continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He could not. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms, but instead they scattered in every direction. Every direction except into the warm, lighted barn. And that's when he realized that they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. To him, he reasoned, I'm a strange, terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him. And he thought to himself, if only I could be a bird now, if I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid, then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears. Above the sounds of the wind, and he stood there listening to the bells. Adeste Fidelis. Listening to the bells pealing the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow. Paul Harvey, I hope for you and those you love, this will be a wonderfully merry Christmas.
Love it.
And on the 8th.
Don't you love that? Every year I play that, and I absolutely, I'm just fascinated. I love Paul Harvey. I think he had an incredible way to tell a story. I thought he was just an amazing guy. And that was probably one of my most favorite Paul Harveys. Just loved that story. I know that we're up against so much right now, and I know it's kind of hard for some to feel the Christmas spirit. I know it is, but I'm hoping that we're going to be doing some programming that will possibly take your mind off of it for the majority of next week and the following week. And I'll be playing some reruns that are just fantastic information that people need to know. Because my whole thing is let's educate. Let's re-educate. There's so much we have to know, and there's so much we just didn't get along the way. And that's probably the most important mission of this show. So, and that's what next week, part of next week, we'll be on the air Monday and Tuesday. But from Wednesday on for that week and a half, we'll be off, but I'm going to be playing some killer reruns. They're really, really good. And I do hope you tune in for that. The story coming up, the John Henry Falk story, I've played every year for about 6 years, and the story gets me every time. In fact, it's just an amazing story of going in the Wayback Machine decades ago, and he just has a way of telling it. He was on the radio for some time, and that was probably one of the more requested stories to hear on the radio. And it talked about the merging of these two families for Christmas and the wonderful way in which John Henry Falk tells that story. There's so many different Christmas stories I usually play all year, you know, all the time. And I've had wonderful guests like Father Longnecker has come on the show several years to do to talk about the wise men and stories about the wise men that people were not aware of. And so those are the kinds of things I'll be replaying too, in addition to that. But, you know, I do think some interesting things will be happening over the next few weeks and on. I think with the report coming out from John Ratcliffe, I think the director of intelligence, I think that report could be very telling. You know, one of the paths to being able to stop the stealing of this election would be to disqualify Biden. And could that be done? I am just very open for surprises. I'll tell you that much. It would not shock me at all, because that would be one way to go about it. But we'll have to see, won't we? And so, if there are some shows that you, would like to hear again, you know, it could, I mean, anything, you name it, over the, you know, last 9 years, you can absolutely email me, kate@katedalyradio.com, and I'm happy to play those for you to work those into the schedule. But I absolutely, thank you for, listening to this show. And this has been a tough year on the radio. It took a lot of beatings the first half of the year. But people started finally figuring out what's going on. You know, I was up till about 5 a.m, to tell you the truth, really working on a lot of research on the vaccine. And we are going into a whole new territory and a whole new time. And that vaccine is so horrific on so many levels that you cannot call it a vaccine. It simply cannot be called medicine. It cannot be called a vaccine. It's not. I think vaccines have their own batch of problems. This isn't that. And so we've got to stop calling it that. And I think if there was anything that you could do, it would be to help inform people to please not take it. And I am going to plead with people not to take that. Let's just pray and hope that people will figure out what in the world is going on with this. I've been in contact with Dr. Judy Mikovits off the air, and we've talked about the science behind mRNA and why they're using this as the delivery system. And it's that bad. It is that bad. And so I hope that you will grab the video we do and share it, because it is coming from a lot of different sources and very, very good sources. And, you know, when you realize they've been telling us this for a decade, but we weren't really listening, it really hits home. I'll be right back with John Henry Falk's story. You'll love this. It'll put a tear in your eye. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I've heard about this baby boy who's come to earth to bring us joy. And I just want to sing this song to you.
Welcome back. A little clover for you for the Christmas version of Hallelujah. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Make sure you get to Tropical Fiberglass Pool and Spa and treat yourself, really, and treat your family. Treat yourself to a hot tub, bullfrog hot tub. Really and truly fantastic. You'll love the quality. The workmanship in these hot tubs is just amazing. They last forever. They're fantastic. And you'll love me for this one. You totally will. All my kids were in it last night. They had their friends over, and it's just been such a fun thing to be able to do. So by all means, please do that. It's so well worth it, can I just tell you? Make sure you're getting your bullfrog hot tub, because they're the very best. If you want a hot tub that's going to last and it's beautiful, it lasts, it's simple to use, this is the one. And make sure you get over to Tropical Fiberglass Pool and Spa. Tell them we sent you too. This is the John Henry Falk Christmas story that I play every year and always puts a tear in my eye no matter what. Here you go.
The day after Christmas, a number of years ago, I was driving down a country road in Texas, and it was a bitter cold morning. And walking ahead of me on the gravel road was a little barefooted boy with nondescript ragged overalls and a makeshift sleeve of a sweater tied around his little ears. I stopped and picked him up. Looked like he was about 12 years old, and his little feet were blue with the cold. He's carrying an orange. And he got in and had the brightest blue eyes one ever saw, and he turned a bright smile on my face and says, "I'm going down the road about 2 miles to my cousin's. I want to show him my orange old Sandy Claus brought me." Well, I wasn't going to mention Christmas to him because I figured he came from a family that kind of don't have Christmas. But he brought it up himself. He said, "Did old Sandy Claus come to see you, mister?" And I said, "Yes, we had a real nice Christmas at our house, and I hope you had the same." He paused for a moment, looked at me, and then with all the sincerity in the world said, "Mister, we had the wonderfulest Christmas in the United States down to our place. Lordy, it was the first one we ever had there. See, we never do have them out there much. Don't notice when Christmas time comes. We'd heard about it, but never did have one because, well, you know, it just, Papa says that old Sandy Claus, Papa hoorahs a lot, said old Sandy Claus was scared to bring his reindeer down into our section of the county because folks down there are so hard up that they liable to catch one of his reindeer and butcher him for meat. But just several days before Christmas, a lady come out from town, and she told all the families through there, our family too, that there was old Sandy Claus was coming town to leave some things for us, and if Papa'd go in town, he could get some Christmas time for all of us. And Papa hooked up the mule wagon. He went in town, but he told us children, said, now don't y'all get all worked up and excited because it might not be nothing to this yarn that lady told. But shucks, he hadn't got out of sight up the lane there. We was done watching for him to come back, and we couldn't get our minds on nothing else, you know. And Mama, she'd come door every once in a while and say, now y'all quit that looking up the lane because Papa told you there might not be nothing. But long about the middle of the afternoon, well, we heard the team of jangling harness coming, and we ran out in the front yard, and Ernie, my little brother, called out, said, yonder come Papa, and here come them mules just in a big trot, you know, and Papa standing upright in the bed of that wagon holding two big old chickens, all feathers picked off, and he was just yelling, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, and the team stopped right in front of the gate, and all us children just went swarming out there like a flock of chee-chees, you know, and just crawling over that wagon and looking in. And, mister, I wish you could have seen what was in that wagon. It's bags of stripey candy and apples and oranges and sacks of flour and some real coffee, you know, and just all tinsely and pretty, and we couldn't say nothing, just kind of held her breath and looked at it, you know, and Papa standing there just waving them two chickens and yelling, Merry Christmas to you, Merry Christmas to you, and a laughing, that big old grin on his face. And Mama, she come a-hurrying out with baby in her arms, you know, and when she looked in that wagon, she just stopped, and Papa, he dropped them two chickens and retched and caught the baby out of her arms, you know, and held him up and said, Merry Christmas to you, Sandy Claus, and baby little old Alvy Lee, he just laughed like he knowed it was Christmas too, you know. And Mama, she started telling us the name of all them nuts. It wasn't just peanuts. She had names for all of them. Mama knows a heap of things like that. She'd seen that stuff before, you know. And we's all of us just a chattering and a going on at the same time. Us young'uns are looking in there, and all of a sudden we heard Papa call out, "Merry Christmas to you, Sam Jackson." And we stopped and looked, and here comes Sam Jackson leading that old cripple leg mule of his up the lane. And Papa said, Sam Jackson, did you get in town to get some Christmas this year? Sam Jackson, you know, he sharecrops over there across the creek from our place. And he shook his head and said, well, no, sir, Mr. Will, I didn't go in town. I heard about that, but I didn't know it was for colored folks, too. I thought it was just for you white families. all of a sudden, none of us children were saying nothing. Papa, he looked down at Mama. And Mama looked up at him, and they didn't say nothing like they don't a heap of times, but they know what the others are thinking. They're like that, you know. And all of a sudden, Papa, he broke out in a big grin again. He said, Dad, blame it, Sam Jackson, it's sure a good thing you come by here. Lord have mercy, I like to forgot. Old Santa Claus would have me in court if he'd heard about this. The last thing he asked me if I lived out here near you. Said he hadn't seen you around and said he wanted me to bring part of this out here to you and your family, your woman and your children. Well, sir, Sam Jackson, he broke out in a big grin. And Papa said, I'll tell you what to do. You get your wife and children and you come down here tomorrow morning. It's going to be Christmas time all day long. Come early and stay late. And Sam Jackson said, you reckon? And Mama called out to him and said, yes, and you tell your wife to be sure and bring some pots and pans because we're going to have a heap of cooking to do, and I ain't sure I've got enough to take care of all of it. Well, sir, old Sam Jackson, he started off leading that mule up the lane in a full trot, you know, and he's heading home to get the word to his folks and his children, you know. And next morning, it just, you remember how it was yesterday morning? Just rosy red and looked like Christmas time. It's cold, but you didn't notice the cold, you know, and the sun just come up, just all rosy red. And us young'uns were all out of bed before daylight, seemed like, just running in the kitchen and smelling and looking. And it was all there, sure enough. And here comes Sam Jackson and his team and his wife and his five young'uns in there. And it's all looking over the edge, and we run out and yell, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And Papa said, Christmas gift to you, Sam Jackson. Y'all come on in. And they come in, and Mama and Sister Jackson, they got in the kitchen, and they started cooking things up. And us young'uns started playing Christmas time. And it's a lot of fun, you know. We just play Christmas gift with one another and run around and around the house and just roll in the dirt, you know. And then we started playing go up to the kitchen door and smell. And we'd run up and smell inside that kitchen door where Mama and Sister Jackson was cooking at. And then we'd just die laughing and roll in the dirt, you know, and go chasing around and playing Christmas gift. And we played Christmas time till we just wore ourselves out. And Papa and Sam Jackson, they'd put a table up and put some sheets over it, some boards up over some sawhorses. And everybody had a place, even the baby. And Mama and Sister Jackson said, well, now it's ready to come on in, we're going to have Christmas dinner. And I sit right next to Willie Jackson, you know, and he'd just roll his eyes at me, and I'd roll mine. We'd just die laughing, you know, and there was an apple and an orange and some stripedy candy at everybody's place. And that was just dessert. See, that wasn't a real Christmas dinner. Mama and them had done cooked that up, and they just had it spread up and down the table. And so Papa and Sam Jackson, they'd been sitting on the front porch, and they come in. Papa, he sit at one end of the table, and Sam Jackson sit at the other, and it was just a beautiful table like you never had seen. And I didn't know nothing could ever look like that and smell that good, you know. And Sam Jackson, you know, he's real black, and he had on that white clean shirt of his and in them overhauls. Everything had been washed and was real clean. Papa, he said, Brother Jackson, I believe you're a deacon in the church. I ain't much of a church man myself, but I believe you're a deacon. Maybe you'd be willing to give grace. Well, Sam Jackson, he stood up there, and his hands was real big, and he kind of held on to the side of the table, you know. But he didn't bow his head like a heap of folks do when they're saying blessing. He just looked up and smiled, and he said, Lord, I hope you're having as nice a Christmas up there with your angels as we have it down here. Because it sure is Christmas time down here. And I just wanted to say, Merry Christmas to you, Lord. Like I say, mister, I believe that was the wonderfulest Christmas in the United States of America.
Isn't that great? Ah, John Henry Falk. That Christmas story, probably one of the best. Just absolutely love that. And, you know, that's the America I live in. That's the America I live in and have lived in. And so when I hear the governor come out and say these things, I'm always perplexed because when he thinks we need equality clauses and compacts and look around, you know, people are genuinely pretty kind to each other. And the very few cases of that happen, or maybe centralized to maybe a few particular areas in the United States. If there is that kind of judgment going on and that kind of perceived racism going on, you know, that cannot paint the picture for all of America, because the majority of America, that's not what that is. And so those kinds of narratives, and every year when I listen to that story, I'm always reminded of that. It's what a great people Americans really are. And they're really pretty loving and caring toward each other. Sometimes I just think we just really need to be reminded. I think sometimes it's just hard for us. I remember on the show a couple years ago, I was looking at back at a 1915 Christmas. And what was interesting about this 1915 Christmas was the fact that the kids were all getting ready for Santa to come to visit them. And at school, and it was a big pageant, kind of a big event. And what was amazing about it was that they were actually making presents to give to Santa. Santa wasn't coming to bring them anything. So Santa wasn't there to, you know, with a whole bag of goodies for them. And it was understood that the kids were only there to give things to put into Santa's bag. And I've thought about that. I've thought about that a lot ever since I talked about that on the show, because this actually came back from a story that was written called A Public School Christmas in 1915. And it was just the expectation of me wasn't there. The expectation of give was there. And nobody batted an eye. The kids didn't think that they didn't get anything. They didn't think that they were going without. They thought that that was truly the spirit of Christmas. You just gave. You didn't expect anything. You didn't get anything. And they filled up Santa's bag with all kinds of things that they had made throughout the month. And they had a little party, you know, to commemorate it. And I thought, how amazing is that? Because really and truly, when kids see Santa, that representation of Christmas, all they think of is, what can I get? And then Santa puts them on the lap and they say, you know, what can I get? But I did. I thought that was kind of an amazing, different kind of look about that. And you can actually look that up, Primary Education 1915. And it's a wonderful, wonderful sort of going back in time to see what they decorated with. And this woman had written a wonderful story that went out and, went out in a lot of different publications about Christmas in 1915. And I just thought, sometimes we need to be reminded of our roots a little bit more. Instead of what we've kind of segued into. But thought I'd share those with you today. And by the way, yeah, we will be on the air a Monday and Tuesday. And so we'll love your phone calls and love for you to listen in on those first 2 days of the week for sure. And then, of course, coming up, I've got Investigator Dave. And then followed by him, I've got Joel Skousen, kind of a 1-2 punch. You're going to love this. Epic. Anyway, I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.